you for joining us today for our daily broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are continuing our special series on the Christmas story, so let's listen in now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Well, we're going over this third part of the Christmas story, and we're going to discuss the year, the day of Jesus' birth. I believe that we can pinpoint it. I would give this a 90% chance of what I'm telling you here this morning. I always want to leave a little room for in case some new evidence springs up to show something different. I would say with the evidence that we have today, we can kind of pinpoint an approximation, and then we can go from that approximation to what seems to make a lot of scriptural sense, okay? Because there's a lot of things that don't make scriptural sense, so you can go ahead and go, boom, it's not on that day, all right? So we're going to look at some of those things here this morning. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us." And so there are certain things revealed in the Bible that I believe belongs to us, and it's a good thing for us to be able to look at and to be able to ponder over. In Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to seek it out." So there's nothing wrong with trying to seek out when Jesus was born. The question is getting the correct date of birth have anything to do with your salvation? No, it does not. It does not. However, let me ask you this question. Is it wrong to try and find truth? I don't think so. You know, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." I think truth is important to God. And if we're trying to find the truth in a matter that has to do with the Lord himself, I think that's a good endeavor. I think that's a good endeavor. So, the next question that a lot of people have is it okay to celebrate the birth of Jesus? We know when Jesus was raised from the dead, but nowhere are we told to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, being told and seen being celebrated in God's word aren't really two different things. I think if God celebrates it, I think it's a good thing, and then I think it's okay for us to celebrate it. We see that in Luke chapter 2. I want you to go there real quick. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8, beginning there. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, you have the shepherds there on the hillsides there of Bethlehem watching over the sheep. And we're told here in verse 8 of Luke 2, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid, and the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings.'" That means good news. "Of great joy." So this is a good thing. Good news, great joy, "which will be to all the people, for there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, go on your way and continue to shepherd your flock," and just wanted to let you know that. It doesn't end there. This seems to be a big deal. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger," which, by the way, is a huge sign of exactly where Jesus was born that we will get into later on. "And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" A little bit of a celebration going on there. The heavenly host breaks out, praising God over that announcement that was just given. That seems to me a celebration. If God's going to celebrate, I think it's okay if we should celebrate it as well. And then what about the shepherds? What do they do? Well, in verse 15, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the same which was told them concerning this child." So the shepherds seem to think it's a pretty big deal. that the Savior was born. They went to go see what they were told. And then they went on and they began to tell others of the birth of Jesus. So I think it's okay to celebrate, which we read in Scripture, is a gift. A gift has been given. And that gift is a person of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're told it's the indescribable gift. It's a wonderful gift. As much as we try and describe it, we're only scratching the surface of Jesus being sent down, the love of the Father towards humanity, sending down his Son to see that amazing grace, that mercy, that love that God has for us in sending his Son to die for the sin of mankind so we can have relationship with God and fellowship with God and eternity with God. What an indescribable gift. How do you describe that? It's amazing. Doesn't matter what adjective you put to it. It doesn't do it justice. It's indescribable. It's amazing. And I do believe it's worth celebrating. Now, in order to determine the actual year that Jesus was born, the actual time that Jesus was born, we have to rely on a few historians and other people that have talked about it and things like that. And most historians today believe that because Herod the Great died in 4 BC, Jesus would have to obviously have been born before that, right? Because we see the wise men coming before Herod and to be able to see the Christ child, okay? So Herod obviously was alive when Jesus was born. So if Jesus died in 4 BC, that means that Jesus had to be born before 4 BC when Herod died. You get that? So that would have to be 5 BC, 6 BC, 7 BC, somewhere around there, all right? And so most people believe that Herod died in 4 BC. A guy by name of Emil Schurer wrote in AD 1890 that Herod the Great died in 4 BC, and he based that upon a heavily footnoted 17 pages accounting the timeline of Herod the Great's reign from 37 BC to 4 BC, and his main reason for the death of Herod in 4 BC is a quote from Flavius Josephus. In Josephus' Antiquities, he states that not Herod the Great, but his son, Herod Philip, died in the 20th year of Tiberius after ruling for 37 years. Now I'm going to show you a right here. Check out this really cool laser I got today. What? Look how big that is. I know. Pretty excited. I also have one in red, hence the Christmas colors right here. So you have Herod the Great, okay? But to determine when he died, we have information of when Philip reigned. We know that Philip has to reign after Herod dies, okay? So Herod the Great, he was king of the Jews, king of all Judea. When he died, his kingdom was divided into fourths, okay? That's why Philip, Herod Antipas, Archelaus, and Aristobulus were not called kings, they were called tetrarchs. Tetrarch means a ruler of the fourth, okay, or of a quarter. So that's why there's four of these guys. Because Herod was great, these guys not so much. So they only get a fourth of the rulership, okay? So because we are told here that that Philip, okay, this guy right here, reigned for 37 years, and he died in the 20th year of Caesar Tiberius, okay? And we know that the 20th year of Caesar Tiberius was 33 or 34 AD. Now follow me here, okay? If we know that, go to the next slide here. If we know that, Philip ruled for 37 years, died in the 20th year of Caesar Tiberius, which was 33, 34 AD. This is what we're told, okay? If you take 34, 33, 34 AD minus 37 years equals what? 4, 3 BC. So, in order for Philip to begin his rulership, that would tell us that Herod the Great died around this time. Did you follow that? Thus, Jesus' birth was sometime before Herod's death, 4, 5, 6 BC. Okay? So again, we look at how Philip ruled for 37 years, died in the 20th year of Caesar Tiberius, which was 33, 34 AD. So you take that number right there, 33, 34 AD, minus 37 years, it equals 4 to 3 BC. Jesus would have been born before that, which means 5, 6, 7 BC. Okay? Now, we know that if that's the case, that it probably wasn't 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 BC. Well, Dave, how do you know that? Well, Matthew 2, okay? When the wise men came before Herod, the wise men want to know, where is the Christ child that's supposed to be born? Because we saw his star, and we know that the Son of God has been born. All of a sudden, he gathers his ministers, and they say, well, Micah 2 tells us he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So leads him to Bethlehem, okay? And Herod tells him, hey, when you find out, you know, exactly where he is, send word to me because I want to come worship as well. Liar face. He really wanted to kill the one that the Jews would believe is the king of the Jews because he's the king of the Jews, and he doesn't want anybody to usurp his authority. So he wants to kill him. So in Matthew 2:16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Now, we don't have time today, but from this verse right here, we go on, and then he kills all the children, two and under. By that time, Jesus, Mary and Joseph had fled to Egypt, okay? And then while they were in Egypt, they are told in a dream that Herod, they are told that Herod had died. And so they can now come back to Israel. But then they find out that Herod Antipas is ruling there. And so because of that, they end up going back to Nazareth, all right? That happened in a very short period of time after him decreeing that everybody two and under should die. Now, why two and under? Why not three and under? Why not four and under? Why not one and under? Why not 6 months and under? And this is where we have to, yes, make a couple of assumptions. I would submit to you that the reason he said two and under is because when the wise men came, and as it says here, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men let him know, hey, a year and a half ago or a year ago, we saw this star appear. And so we know that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, has been born. So determining from what the wise men said, I would submit to you that Herod probably added a few months on there just to make sure. Because how do you differentiate between a 15-month, 16-month, 17-month-old child and a 2-year-old child? But if they had said, we determined 6 months ago that the Christ child has been born, I would submit to you he probably would have said a year and under. Or any infant. Hey, we determined a month ago that the Christ child has been born. He would have said, kill all infants. No need to kill toddlers and those that are talking now because the baby is supposed to be an infant. So I would submit to you that because he says 2 years and younger, I would submit to you again that it was probably, they probably said a year, maybe a year and a half ago is when this star appeared. And so just to make sure, let's do two and under. Soon thereafter, he died. That's why we don't look at Jesus being born around 8, 9, 10 BC, because that's way too much time between being born and Herod dying. Did you get that? Was that a little too wordy? Whatever. Okay. So, now, here's the thing. If the statement that Philip died in the 20th year of Tiberius's reign is wrong, that changes everything. And it's interesting because as of now, and especially because of someone's work in 1995, we do know that's wrong. So this is the reason why most theologians up until the last 20 years, if you go back, they're pinpointing the fact that Herod died in 4 BC, and so Jesus had to be born around 6, 5 BC, somewhere around there, 7, 6, 5 BC. And so everybody is looking for Jesus being born there, and because of that, I would submit everybody's calculation is wrong. It's interesting that in 1995, there's a guy by the name of David W. Beyer. He reported to the Society for Biblical Literature his personal examination in the British Museum of 46 editions of Josephus' Antiquities. So there's a lot of manuscript evidence of Flavius Josephus' Antiquities, his writings, who's a Jewish historian, around the time that the temple was destroyed, who gives a lot of commentary back there in the very first century, just 30 years, 40 years after Jesus had died. He writes about a lot of things, about the history of the Jews and Christ at that time and things like that. So we have not the originals, but copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. And we have found that he's going to go on to say that he has found that everything, every copy of a copy after 1544 seems to say that Philip died in the 20th year of Tiberius. But all the manuscript evidence before 1544 says the 22nd year of Tiberius. I just summarize it. I'll read it from his words here. He says that the Josephus Antiquities that he found in the British Museum, published before 1700, among which 27 texts, all but three published before 1544, read 22nd year of Tiberius. Well, not one single edition published before 1544 read 20th year of Tiberius. Likewise, in the Library of Congress, five more editions read 22nd year, while none prior to 1544 records the 20th year. Now, if that's the case, look at this. So, again, if Philip ruled for 37 years, died in the 22nd year of Tiberius, then you have 33 to 34 AD minus 37 years, now is going to equal 2 to 1 BC. So Jesus now can be born in either 2, 3, or 4 BC, which is an area that nobody's ever looked at before. Nobody saw that before as that being a possibility. And so again, we look at this and we're able to see that, hey, look at that. Some things can be different now. Now we're looking at this, things can be different. And so now if you're starting to look at 2 or 3 or 4 BC, what seems to make sense of when Jesus was born is we're going to go from now. Now, in Luke 3:23, we read this, and it's here on your screen. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. The word began his ministry about, the word about means approaching. Since Jesus started his ministry as he's approaching 30 years of age, and since in John's gospel we see three Passover celebrations in John 2, John 6, verse 4, and in John 12, we can say that Jesus' ministry was three and a half years. That would make Jesus 33 years old when he died on the cross. If Jesus was born around 3 BC, and I've just taken that date because it seems to flow better, and we'll see if it continues to flow better, then his crucifixion and resurrection would be in AD 30. Remember, from 1 AD, 1 BC to 1 AD is 1 year. There is no zero. There is no a 1 BC to 0 and then 0 to 1 AD. It goes from 1 BC to 1 AD. So if Jesus was born in 3 BC, then in AD 30, he would be 33 years old, which we kind of see in Scripture is how old he was when he was crucified. So if he was born in 3 BC, that would make him 33 years old in AD 30 when he would be crucified and raised from the dead. Now, before he died, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, I have it here on the screen, he pronounced judgment upon the Jews, Jerusalem, and the temple. In Luke 19, 41, it says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known even you, especially in your day, the things which make for your peace, but now are hidden from your eyes, 4 days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" We know from history that judgment took place in 70 AD with Titus coming with his 5th, 10th, 12th, 15th Roman legions, laid siege to the city of Jerusalem and killed over 1 million Jews. During this time, Titus had hoped to spare the temple, but an overzealous soldier threw a torch inside the temple. It all caught on fire. It melted all the gold in there into all the crevices of the rocks and the stones that build this temple. And so what do you think the soldiers did? Tore it down stone by stone to get to eat to all that gold, to which there was not one stone upon another. That took place in 70 AD. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, we see this number 40 reappear time and time again in God's Word, and it seems to suggest that 40 is the number of judgment, testing, trial, is what that number means. And so when you look at the Old Testament and you remember how God destroyed the earth, judged the earth with what? 40 days of rain? 40 nights of rain. It's interesting, after Moses killed the Egyptian, he fled to Midian, where he spent 40 years in the desert. The Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert. Why? Their disobedience for not going to the promised land. Before Samson's deliverance, Israel served the Philistine for 40 years. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days before David arrived to slay him. It seems that when you go through scripture, the number 40 speaks of that judgment, that trial, that testing. And it seems to add up, seems to line up, that if Jesus, being 33 years old, dying on the cross in 30 AD, then 40 years later, judgment comes in 70 AD to destroy the temple, it seems like it measures up pretty good. I would submit to you that God is a God of order, and he likes an orderly account of things. It's certainly within God's prerogative that if Jesus died in 32 AD to judge Jerusalem 38 years later, God can do whatever he can do. But it seems like he's laid a precedent, kind of a pattern, with the number 40. And to be so close to that number and then just going, 38 is good enough, I'll judge him now. When if Jesus was crucified in 32 AD, then he certainly could have held off that judgment 2 more years to destroy Jerusalem in 72 AD, but he did not. He did it in 70 AD for a reason. And I believe it has everything to do with that God is very consistent, even with his numbers in the Bible.
You have just heard from Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Castle Rock, continuing his teaching of the Christmas story. If you would like to download a free copy of this message in its entirety, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. Once you're on the main menu, select Teachings, and then View All, and then scroll to the bottom and select Christmas. Before you know it, Christmas Eve will be here. We hope to be a part of your day by joining us for one of our 2 Christmas Eve services. At 3 p.m., we'll be gathering at Festival Park in downtown Castle Rock. Or you can join us at 7 p.m. with childcare available at Calvary Castle Rock. Invite your friends and family. We look forward to celebrating together the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.